Well, this morning, it's a message about the path of righteousness, and I was thinking about last week when we talked about what refreshes us on this path of righteousness. I don't know about you, but if anything in that message stirred you, I was thinking about it all this week, and I was thinking about how times of worship refresh, the Word of God refresh, brothers and sisters in the Lord refresh. I just touched on those in the service last week, and it's so necessary. My goodness, is it so necessary. The news doesn't refresh. Just thinking through things doesn't necessarily refresh. And one of the other areas that refreshes, when you are doing what God's called you to do, it is so refreshing. So if you've got a gift, if you have a talent and you are sitting on it, don't sit on it. Use it. And if you're somebody that wants to encourage the snot out of everybody. If you've got a built-in DNA to serve, then serve like crazy. And I was thinking of how church families really run. They run because they have friendships and because they have places to serve and plug in. And church just doesn't work unless every member of the body is plugged in and supplying what other members need. And I am not every member. I'm one member. And on some days, that's a good mouth. On other days, it's got a mouth infection, you know? And so you need multiple members. And I got some hands and feet in this room. I've got some great minds in this room. And the Lord has got awesome purposes for us, and we can't do it unless every member is plugged in. Amen? Praise God. And so I'm thankful for that refreshing and for the friendship and all that stuff that I mentioned last week. But the Lord been stirring something in me. This path of righteousness has an ultimate goal to it. There is coming an end. There's coming an end. And this path that I'm on, because there's an end, it requires something else of me and you. I must be watching, and I must be praying. Because this all has a point, a culmination to it, a climax, I must be alert, or as the Bible would say, as we're going to read in a couple seconds, I must be awake and watching, but I must also be praying. And I've mentioned many weeks ago how I felt like this is a season where prayerlessness is very rampant in our culture. And we talk a lot about prayer, but we need prayer more than ever. And I won't pick on this couple, but I heard in conversation that someone had an alarm that would go off. I think it was on their phone. And whenever the alarm would go off, it was like a reminder to pray. It didn't leave me. You know, if it's you, you know I'm talking about you. And I heard that and something made me smile. And I said, oh, dear Lord, how awesome would it be if all of our smartphones had an appointment built into it to remind you. Make Siri or whatever the other person is. I don't know the other person because I got an iPhone. And make them your partner to remind you to pray if you need that. It's 6:30 in the morning, or unless God doesn't get up at that time, then maybe 8 o'clock or 10 o'clock, I don't know what it is. But make an appointment and keep that. I think that is wonderful. And so I've got to keep watching and I've got to keep praying. And so turn with me to Scripture, and I want to go to where this phrase I'm looking at comes from. Matthew 26. You know, our Lord Jesus was on a path, and that path led to the cross, where he died for all of mankind. He laid his life down for me, for you. And close to that sacrifice, we read what he did the night he was betrayed. After he took of the Passover meal, and he went away, and he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he prayed in Matthew chapter 26, reading here in verse 41, we see this phrase. Well, I'm going to read 40 and 41. He came to his disciples and he found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, what? Is your say it like that? Mine says it like that. It's like there's an exclamation point in there in the Greek, I think. What? It says, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Verse 41, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, I can't help but think about this time period. During this time, he shared some key stories. In the previous chapter, in chapter 25, we read in 25 verse 1. If you turn there, you can join me. It says, the kingdom of heaven will be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. Verse 5, I got to repeat it again. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all what? Slumbered and slept. That seems to me to be the opposite of watch and pray, doesn't it? And it says, then at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and they trimmed their lamps. And the foolish one said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, no, lest there be not enough for us and for you. Rather go to those who sell and buy for yourselves. This is important to think about this story and how it relates to us. We have a responsibility when I'm talking about this message today. No one else can do for you what I'm preaching on today. You and you alone can do this message. Mom and dad can't do it for you, teenager. Wife, you can't do it for your husband. That one needs to sink in our culture. There are a lot of on fire Christian women, but women, you can't be the savior of your man. Amen. Let them before the Lord. Just let them go. Love them. Let them go though. Men, you've got to wake up. We as a culture of men have got to wake up because no one can do this for us. So we've got to go out. And it says, go and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding. This is the wedding feast. This is the party. This is exciting. And then the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came and they said to the Lord inside, Lord, Lord, open up to us. But he answered and he said, surely, I say to you, I do not know you. This is a knowing, a relationship. I have no relationship with you. And Jesus says, so I want you to watch therefore. Why does Jesus tell this story? He says this because he wants us to watch. For you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. This title is beautiful. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is returning. Amen. He really is. And the funny thing is even though they were already selected as the bride of Christ and set aside for it, that was not enough. They had to be watchful and prayerful and prepared for the moment he returned. The opposite of that would be to relax and to be lazy and to be asleep, and that's all pictured right there in Scripture. And so, as I share this, I go, my goodness, why do we have to watch and pray? There are 3 reasons why I believe this message is important. Here they are in order. The first one, Jesus told us that we must watch and pray because he doesn't want us to miss the party. Amen. He told us, watch and pray. I don't want you to miss the party. That's implied. You know, he wants us to be in that wedding feast and at that party. Aren't you glad he wants you there? Amen. Every single one of us. In fact, everyone on the earth, he doesn't desire one person to perish. But I guarantee you the word will be true. There will be those that miss the party. So Jesus is telling us today, because he doesn't want anybody to miss a party. Now, I want you to make this personable. Who can you think of that you don't want to miss the party? When you're in the party, sitting at the banquet table, or whatever the music is, when you look around at all the faces there, who do you want to be there with you? The next reason, why do we have to watch and pray? Why is this message important? Because the devil is real and he knows his time is short. And he is devious. He is sneaky. Sneaky. He's very sneaky. And he knows his time is short. And in Revelations it says, whoa, because he's been cast down and he knows his time is short. So what does that mean to us? We have to be alert and watching and praying, because like what Jesus said to his disciples, he goes, guys, could you not do this 1 hour with me? You got to watch and pray or you're going to be entered into testing and you need to be guarded. How many want to be guarded from the attacks of the enemy? I do. I really do. You know, I'm allergic. I really am. I'm allergic to pain. That's it. All these people with fancy allergies and stuff like that. You know, I have one. It's just pain. I don't like it. It causes me to swell up and tears and stuff. I just don't like it. And so I want this because I want to avoid as much of this trial and persecution as I possibly can. And then the last reason of why Jesus is telling us to watch and pray is because watching and praying is like what this parable says. It's filling us with the oil we need. And I'm telling you something. I need the oil. And I need what that oil represents. And you need the oil and you need what that oil represents. It represents, all through Scripture, you see this beautiful symbolism. The oil can be so many things, but in general, it just means the Holy Spirit, the anointing oil. I think of the anointing oil, the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, I can't do this Christian life. This path of righteousness I'm on, can you imagine trying to do it in our own strength? Man, I can't do it. I need this breath of the Holy Spirit to breathe into my lungs, whatever I need. I need that food of the Holy Spirit so I can run for 40 days and nights. I need all this. I can't do it without the Holy Spirit. And I know this because I've tried to do things without the Holy Spirit. So let's jump into this now. For love's sake, he told us he doesn't want us to miss the party. Man. You know, I remember when I turned 16, my mom and dad threw a surprise party. They just didn't tell me. You get that? It was a surprise party. They didn't tell me. So what happened was all of my buddies that gathered at the church gymnasium to celebrate my 16th birthday, they were there for about 4 hours. Longer than what they intended. So can you imagine a surprise birthday party that by the time you show up to your surprise birthday party, everybody hates you? Yeah, that's what it was like. It was like, surprise, jerk. You know, it was like, happy birthday, where were you at? That was literally the phrases I got. Happy birthday, where were you at? That was like those things. I was like, whoa, I didn't know. I almost missed my own birthday party. And they were giving me a car that day. Now, I grant it this. When I say they give me a car, it was nothing like what we've been able to give our girls cars, nice little cars. My first car, the car they gave me at that birthday party, I should have missed the birthday party. It cost $600. It was a 79 Buick Regal that didn't have a matching piece of interior. Every piece of that interior was a different color, mauve. And what is mauve? It's puke color. That's really what it is. It's just the color of blood vomit. That's what it is. That was the color of my car. And then the grill, it had no screws or bolts on. You had to chicken wire the grill. The gas tank, it was all rusted out, and so they had to run a tube into their own made-up gas tank. And so I look at this car, and man, it was horrible. And that car was unlucky. It was in that car that I went 50 miles in a 25-mile-an-hour speed zone, got pulled over by the sheriff, and then ran over the sheriff's car and almost got arrested. And that's another story. I should have missed that birthday party. Maybe that's what I mean. You know, I don't know if you've ever missed a birthday party or a party or something like that, or if you've ever missed something that has got a time-sensitive thing to it, like my wife. She misses special things. Guaranteed. Maybe you're married to a wife like this. You're driving, just like normal, and you'd be like, oh, look, a unicorn. And everyone in the car will go, wow, look at that. 2 seconds later, oh, I missed it. And I'm like, everyone was here. You're here. What are you, how long does it take for you to go, like that? I mean, what were you doing? You're like, well, I'm thinking about this. And then suddenly I look over. Oh, I missed it. I was like, how do you miss that? But it's amazing. She has this gift. She could just miss those moments like that. And she kind of feels like it's sad. She's like, oh, why do I always miss it? And you know, this is one of those areas where I feel like when we are distracted, or when we're asleep, or when something very natural and kind of common is allowed to stay in our life and we're not paying attention to it, it can have side effects and we can miss it. I've done it in church. It seemed like it's inevitable. Something awesome happens in a service. Right, Petraeus? That's the service you're in nursery. Yes. She's like, oh, the one service. She's serving in nursery and changing somebody's kid's diapers or something. That's when the Holy Spirit moves in a mighty way and everybody comes out and they're like, oh my gosh, it was awesome. And she's like, I missed it. I missed it. I hate missing it. So like even today, she's like, I get to be in church today. And I was like, that's awesome. Today is not going to be a good day. Like, every time you're in nursery, it's good. So how many vote that she just stays in nursery? I was like, no. I was like, that's awesome. That's awesome. No. So it's like, I feel like that, though. And there were times where I had to do other things, and I missed out on that visiting minister. You know, like in Romans where the apostle said, I long to come so I can impart what you're lacking. And there are times where visiting ministers or ministers come and they pray and they impart gifts. And that time is an appointed time of God. But if you're not there, what? Isn't that crazy? I remember when I was filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, it's funny, but when I was filled with the Holy Ghost, I was 8 years old and I was in a church camp in Texas. We didn't live in Texas. God doesn't live in Texas. I'm sorry. He moved to Wisconsin. But there in Texas, there was this church camp, and my dad was speaking at the church camp for 2 weeks, and so I got drug along. And so I was there at the church camp, and while I was in the cabin and doing all this fun thing, you know, one of the nights was all about the gifts of the Spirit and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I was just a kid. I mean, I've been around charismatic culture a long time. It was familiar, but I didn't really have anything, so to speak. But man, my counselor, what an appointment. He had this goofy hat on because he was in a skit, and there I was at the altar praying with my counselor with this weird-looking top hat, and he asked me, he goes, you want the gift? And I said, yeah, I think I do. What am I going to ask for? He goes, and he explained, he goes, you want the power of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues? And I goes, yeah, I think I want that. It sounds cool. I didn't know. I'm 8 years old, you know? And he goes, well, let's just pray. And I was excited. I had no limitations. I had no sense of decorum. like what was appropriate or not. All I had was an eagerness and an expectation. I was totally open, and I was just clean. I was ready. And so I looked at that guy, and I was like, yeah, I want it. And he goes, let's pray right now. And I was like, really? We pray. I'm telling you, in seconds, boom, it's like this river of living water comes out of me. And I was not sad, but tears began to flow. And just speaking in an unknown language. And I'm in my mid-40s, and I still remember that appointment of time. What would have happened if I wasn't at that church camp? What would have happened if my dad didn't tell me days before that, son, you're coming with me to church camp? Oh, Dad, no, you're coming with me. Thank God for those setups for a divine appointment. So the next time you as a dad go, I think we need to go, let that stick. You don't know what that will do to the kids that you're in charge of. Get them in church. If they're not there, what are they missing out on? You don't know. But get them in church. And you know, my heart is grieved as a pastor at times because I have such a culture around us that is anti the church. And I get it. The church has had ugly spots. And the church has had what I will call wrinkles, gatherings in the wrong place. And I believe the Lord wants to iron those things out. But you know what? He's died for the church. The church, His body, is the thing that is going to be eternal. This is eternal. All other institutions are temporary. This is eternal. So God loves the church. He loves the gathering. Jesus was in the synagogue every opportunity He could be there. So if He thought it was important to be there and not miss out, then why do we make it so cool to have this idea of, I don't need no church. It's just this. You just stop that thinking altogether and say, I will not miss out. When the doors are open to the place with Jesus' name over it, I want to be there just in case something happens. I love that attitude. And I hope that more people in our culture gets that. And you know what? I bet you there's coming a day where those doors will be open, both in believers' homes and in churches like this, where we're gathering in house location, and you won't be able to keep people out because they'll be running in and they'll say, I don't want to miss out. I don't want to miss out. And so it's important. And we've told our girls, you know, Bree is in California doing school. And every time I talk to her, I'm listening. Is she checking in with God every week? Is she doing the things she's supposed to do? Some days she skips. Some day Gavin Newsom makes her life miserable and she can't go to church. You guys don't know who that is, right? I don't care. You got to plug in. Don't miss. I don't want her to miss anything, you know. And God's there in California too. You could be here and there. Now we got one in Tulsa. Now I'm like, oh my goodness. And if Chloe isn't in church today, she's going to hear something. She's going to hear something from Dad. Why? I don't want her to miss. Praise God. And you know, the funny thing is I know it's because of love. And it's not religion. It's love. And I don't know what my life would be like if I didn't have all of the collective experiences of God's presence in God's people. My greatest memories are with God's people in God's presence. They're my greatest memories. The memories I regret and I want to forget are those with not godly people or professing godly people but acting ungodly. And in a place where God's presence wasn't. And I regret those things. So man, I know it's love and relationship. Now, let's think a little deeper about the devil is real and he knows his time is short. In 1 Peter 5:8, you can turn with me there and I want to look at just a couple things. This message is really going to be about 10 more minutes. In preacher talk, that's 20. I know isn't it funny? Oh my goodness. And let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 8 it tells us that we are to be sober and vigilant because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Oh man, that's exactly the reality. And people who don't believe in the enemy, boy, they're just foolish. And the enemy is active. Is the enemy active? Yes or no? Man, he is active. But we don't got to be afraid. Amen? And so we look in Revelation 12:12. That's that moment where I referenced. He's been cast down and he knows his time is short. When I talk about how the devil is real, what I'm also saying is this. There's a battlefront in our flesh, and our flesh is weak. Now, this is important because I don't have time to get into this, but there are three battlefronts I believe in spiritual warfare. And one of those is the battlefront, the flesh. That means this body is in an unredeemed state. It is in contrast to everything that my spirit is saying yes to. This body fights it. It is amazing to me how many times the bladder is active during service. Why? We can sit through 4 hours of gaming, 2.5 hour movies or whatever, and unless you're over 45, then you can't do any of those things. I can't even sleep one night all the way through. And I'm teasing now. And isn't it funny how that is? And in youth, when I first started out, I made fun of this because I wanted to make sure. And so I would have a healing service before the service began. And I would have everybody lift up their hands, agree that God is a healer, and then have them place it on their bladder and cast out all the urine. And that way I would ensure that the kids would stay in the service. Now I'm just teasing, but I had fun with it. And this body is a battlefront. And the older I get, the more I realize it is a battlefront. And it's just as simple as this body gets weary. Yesterday, I was one of the idiots that took my big surf ski out into 25-mile-an-hour gust winds. And I was out in the waves. And so I was out there. I was having a blast. I really was. But after about an hour of, having fun in the waves, I fell over a lot. My body was getting tired. It got so bad, I'm telling you, it's real bad when you lose your shoes. I lost my shoes. There were people making fun of me. They were taking pictures out there going, look at that. And then when I finally got in, I was exhausted. My belly was jello. My legs were jello. My arms were jello. And I had so much fun. It was awesome. And then I sat there and I think, oh, how come I was so weak today? And I was like, oh, I'm getting older. That's why. And I laugh, and it's something I enjoy, but I couldn't do it as much as my heart was wanting to do it because my body was weary. You know, there's a lot in my Christian life that falls into that category. I'd want to do this, but I just don't have the strength to do it. Or I'd love to do that, I just don't have the strength to do it. I would love to do everything that's on the schedule. I'd love to go to every prayer meeting, to every something. I'd love to go and do every help thing. And, and sometimes I feel like it's evil that I have to just focus on one. It feels like that discipline is unfair. And it's weird. Why can't I do all this? Well, because I'm just a guy. And if I do that, then when I go home, I won't have any time to spend with my daughter. I won't have any time to spend with my wife. And I have to make decisions on where my energy is spent. And that is a cost that I've got to count if I'm going into ministry. What am I talking about here? I'm talking about how I have to consciously deal with the battle of this body. I have to think about it in real terms. I have to eat food so that I stay alive and serve God. Why can't I just live on spiritual food? Some people, I think, feel like that. They just be spiritual and then it all takes care of it. No, you have to be practical and fight the good fight in your physical body too. So maybe after this service, we'll start a workout club. Why? Well, some of you are getting older and I want you to stay around forever and serve God forever. There was no laughter on that. You know what? If you don't work it, you'll lose it. And I want you to stay active so you can serve in the body of Christ. And young people, I have noticed something. We have in this young generation, it's funny, energy for everything but serving God. Time for everything but serving God. Strength of mind for everything, unless you ask a God question.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, why don't you find out?
It's hard. You got to read.
But then if I ask you other questions, well, what about a car? You'll tell me 20 different things about a car. If I ask you about this particular game, you'll tell me everything about the game. So on and so forth. You got strength for everything, but what? Learning about God? So the challenge for that is physically, don't waste your physical life chasing after other things that don't refresh. And I'm talking about counting the cost and fighting the battle physically. Get your physical body into church and serve God. Now, it's funny because we've got to wake up to this and strengthen what remains. Revelations 3, 2 through 10 says this. Says to a church like ours, come on, guys, time is short. The devil's real. Time is short. Wake up. Strengthen what remains. So that's important. That's very practical. Says in 1 Corinthians 16, come on, it's time is short. So men, stand up, firm in the faith, and act like men. This is good stuff right here. This is the day we need to be strong in the Lord. Men have to talk the word, live the word, preach the word. I mean, we've got to lead. And then, you know, the nice thing is because the devil is real and the time is short, this whole concept says we've got to pray. That means ask for strength. We have not sometimes just because we are not asking. And I've got to petition the Lord. You know, I'm a guy, and that comes with a problem. I think I can figure it out. I think I can do it in my own strength. It's true. I don't know why it is built in my brain. But if something comes up, I go, oh, let me think about that. Instead of defaulting to that, let me think about that. Why don't I default to it? Let me pray about that. Why don't I petition the Lord for it? And if we need wisdom or direction, and if I need something, why don't we petition? Hey God, Father, I need this. He will give it. He will give it. And so I think this is the day and age where, as men, this is one way we can lead. You be the one to initiate the prayer. Don't be the one that's last and go, all right, we'll pray. If it's come to that, boy, things are bad. No! Be the first to say, hey, let's pray. Why? Nobody's crying. There's no blood. I don't see any blood. Why do we need to pray? So men, let's come on. Let's ask the Lord. You know, we're told in 1 Peter 4, 7, pray because it's the end. We're told in Colossians 4, 2 to persevere in prayer. These are important things. You know, when I'm thinking about all of this, I almost have to say, you remember how the disciples fell asleep in that account we read in Gethsemane? Jesus came back and goes, why are you guys sleeping? The reason that they were sleeping is because it was at night. It was at night. It's natural. They get tired. It's nighttime. And so it's funny, but when it's night, or when things go longer than expected, and maybe the Lord isn't coming back when we think He should, we begin to get anxious, or we get distracted, or we just begin to forget. It's kind of like where Jesus said in Luke 12, 45, it's like the servant who says to himself, the master's so long in coming, and then he begins to misbehave and abuse the other fellow servants and things like that. But I read in 1 Thessalonians 5, 6 through 8. If we're in the night, we need to walk like we're in the light. If we really are in the nighttime, then we need to walk like we're in the light. What does that mean? That means that when you look at the world around us, it is night. It's dark. And in that darkness, the enemy, the devil who is real and knows his time is short, is leveraging the darkness to wear us out so you sleep, so you forget, so you become anxious, so you get tired, all of those things. That's what the darkness does. It's the nature of darkness. So what do? You refuse to walk in that darkness, and instead you walk in the light. Why? That's where the fellowship is. That's where the strength is. That's how you stay alert to God's coming. How many of you want to walk in the light? I do. I don't want to fall asleep. I want to walk in the light. My last thing is, when we watch and pray, we've got to fill our lamp with oil. And the reason we've got to fill our lamps with oil is because that's how we know we will not be caught off guard or be unprepared. Now, let me say it in a different way. You will not be caught off guard. You will not be unprepared. You will not be caught off guard. Why? Because you have secret knowledge. The same Holy Spirit that rose Christ from the dead dwells in you. You are His sheep. You hear His voice. With the Holy Spirit, you are not surprised. The only ones in these accounts, as it gets close to Christ's return, who is surprised at His return? Those that are unfaithful and walking in the dark and deceived by that darkness, falling asleep. But those who are watching and praying, who have the lamp filled with oil, they are not surprised. They're like, oh, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm so happy. This is so good. Everyone else can be freaking out. But you were not caught off guard because you knew secret information and you were ready. Now that's exciting. Now I tell you, when we talk about the end times, there can be this anxiety or sense of, oh, or doubt or fear can creep in. How do you combat that? Walk in the light. Walk in step with the Holy Spirit. And you get this little from the Holy Spirit. It's okay. It's okay. This is what I'm doing. And you're like, I'm cool. I got secret knowledge. I'm good. I'm not shaking. I'm not shaking. I like that. And so, when we're filling our lamp with oil, it's almost like with that lamp, we know that we will persevere until the party. You know, it's not by anything else but by the Holy Spirit's power that we can persevere until the party. You know, in this life, there's little respites, there's little vacation spots, so to speak, times of refreshing and all of that, but the ultimate party is yet to come. And in this time, we can get weary doing what's right, but boy, with the oil of the Holy Spirit being replenished, having that anointing oil over and over again, I'm telling you, you get this confidence that you will not be caught off guard. You will persevere. Why do some people fail to persevere? It's quite simple. They don't got oil. They don't have the anointing. They don't have the power of the Holy Spirit with them. Why do some people have spurts of energy in God and then you just feel like, boy, they just let everything go? Why? They're binging and purging. They have times with God, but then they go away from God. And they have times with God, and then they go away from God. That's crazy. You know what we need to do is daily fill. Keep those lamps trimmed. Keep that oil going. All of that is important because then you have consistent growth. The path of the righteous is onward and upward. It is. It's onward and upwards. It's a steady increase to what God is bringing us all to. So in closing, I'm going to talk just for a few more seconds about this. What is this oil and what am I talking about specifically? I wondered if I would have time to do this, and I wanted to get to this because there's so much here. I know I need the Holy Spirit's power, and I know I've talked about that, but I want to focus on some of the practical things and why that lamp oil was so important and why Jesus used it. You know, the olive oil that was used in those lamps was, it's interesting because in Isaiah 17, 6, it talks about, and again in Exodus 27, 20, it talks about the beaten olives. See, olive oil comes from olives. Olives grow on trees.
This is public school here, okay? Olive oil, olives grow on trees.
I don't live in the Middle East. I don't live in this area, and so I wasn't around to see how they harvested or what they do like that. In California, we lived in a neighborhood, and there were all these olives and olive trees in the neighborhood, but they weren't the kind that you'd want to eat, that's for sure. And so nobody ever harvested them and things like that, and so how did they harvest this? Well, in Isaiah 17:6 and Exodus 27:20, we hear this instruction specifically, send them to go get the beaten olives. What am I talking about? This is how they harvest them. They would take these poles and they would stick them up in the trees and they'd shake the trees. The servants of God would shake the trees. and the olives would fall. So now stop there for a second. I'm a servant of God, especially when you parallel it with what was said in Exodus. So it's like the oil we need comes from ministers shaking the tree. What is the tree? Symbolically, the olive tree in Scripture represents a couple different things, but most often it represents the church, the body of Christ. So, how do we get this olive oil? Well, you know my mission. So shake it up. That's it. Why are some pastors jerks? Well, did it shake you up? You know, my dad used to tell me, he goes, two things make me preach, want to preach. A good preacher and a bad preacher. You know what shakes me up? A good preacher and a bad preacher. There have been times where someone preaches something and I sit there with a stewing look. Oh, no, you didn't. That is not even in the Bible. No, I can't believe you just said, oh, I'm just going. And through the message, I'm sitting there. Oh, yeah, I'm going to point that out. I'm never really going to point it out to anybody, but I'll tell you something. For days, I'm sitting there doing this. Oh, yeah. Who got shook up in that service? Me. Who benefited from that? Me. And you know what the problem is sometimes we carry those burdens and we don't let them go. Can you be gutsy enough to acknowledge this reality? God uses the idiots in our life just like the smart people in our life to bring about what He wants. It's very true. A.A. Allen was a drunk, yet people got healed. My dad got saved and turned his life around, but the man who... this is dangerous. I can't even believe I'm saying this. I am, though. I'm saying it. But the man who discipled him was a man of great compromise and did many things evil and wrong. Why would God use him? Well, for the same reason God uses every single one of you in this room. Because He has chosen to use imperfect people. Oh, I can't stop here. I got to say something. Do you know when God poured out His Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost? Do you know in the Feast of Pentecost, on that day, it was different than the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, where for those days you ate unleavened bread without what was a symbol of sin, right? So that's what they did in the Passover and in the Unleavened Bread Feast. That's what they did. But then on the day of Pentecost, something unique was said. I want you to give two loaves. I want you to give a loaf and lift it up to the Lord that was unleavened. But I also want you to get a loaf that has leaven in it and lift it up. Why in the world would God say, now all of a sudden I want you to have two loaves? At the culmination of everything that happened. Well, here's the reality of it. That symbolized something to the Jewish people. That all of the righteous requirements of the law were fulfilled. God anointed it. And now He wants to use those with leaven. In spite of their leaven, He is going to pour out Spirit on them. And so He lifted up both. Some people say it's like the Jews and the Gentiles, but I love the analogy either way. I am convinced that God wants to pour out His Spirit on you. And that means, even though you know you are imperfect, flaws and all, God can use you. Oh, weaknesses and all. Oh, it's crazy. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Or are you waiting to become perfect to some standard before you let the Holy Spirit fill you with fresh oil? Come on. I'm telling you, this is some good word, but I don't have time to get into the feast. We're actually going to spend some time as a church, Lord willing, and we'll go through the seven feasts in the Jewish calendar and talk about the parallels prophetically. I want to do that because it's been stirred up in me. I almost started it today, but that's for another week. I know, that's why I was like, oh, it's going to be so good. And so we'll do that. Maybe next week, I don't know. So, where was I at? I got sidetracked now. All right, so then the oil, the olive oil. Now, we already said, we shake the trees. That's one of the things. But those olives come from trees that are healthy. Yeah. And you know the funny thing about a healthy tree? Fruit is the natural byproduct of a healthy tree. If a tree is sick or got disease, it doesn't produce the fruit that it needs. So the reality of the fresh oil that we need to fill our lamps is this. The church has got to be healthy and free of disease. You have to be healthy and free of disease. What does this look like? Galatians 5:24. You could look through that. Galatians 5 is beautiful. Walk in the Spirit. Come on, walk in the Spirit. Don't gratify anything in the flesh. Just crucify that flesh and clean it out. Deny the flesh and walk in the Spirit. And that's important. We've got to be free from that disease. 1 Timothy 2:8 says like this. It's like you got to be praying without division and strife. It is horrible to have a prayer meeting with people you don't like. Have you ever been in a prayer meeting? Like, not here, but in other places maybe, right? You know, I mean, I've been in prayer meetings where I've walked into a prayer meeting and one of my roommates, I was mad at him because they were jerks. And really, I was the jerk, but it was his fault. Follow me. And so we went into a prayer meeting because we're in Bible school. But the whole time I'm in prayer meeting, I'm trying to figure out a way for God to convict him. Some of you have guilty nods going, oh, yeah, I've been there, man. You know what I'm talking about. You're trying to pray, but the whole time you're praying like, oh, God, I know you love righteousness and truth. And you want everybody, you know, and you just be, and it's like, who are you talking to? You ain't talking to anybody but that person there, and you're just in the flesh. And so I look at this and I think, man, if I want to be free from disease, you have got to be free from all bitterness, all unforgiveness, all that stuff, so that you can lift your hands with your brothers and sisters in sincere prayer. You've got to be able to do it. And the thing that comes to me, a healthy tree has sap. These olives, they would never be harvested if the tree didn't have sap. And so in the church, we have to have a sap. Look to someone. I'm so... Sorry, Steve. What the sap represents is... It represents... the lifeblood of the whole tree. The lifeblood of the whole tree is the love that flows. It's the love of God that flows. It's everything. It's greater than prophecy. It's greater than miracles, signs, and wonders. You can have all the things that we talk about in the kingdom of God. You can have everything. But if you have not love, you are missing everything. So when it comes to the oil, we have got to sometimes just stir up love. Stir up love. Put an arm around somebody and be like, hey, I love you. Visit somebody and say, hey, I love you. Do something loving. Anything that stirs that love up can be such a good thing. But more than all the love I'm talking about, your personal love of Jesus has to be the thing that colors everything. Some people do things in Christianity out of duty and obligation, and that's not love. It might be a form of love in some cases, but I guarantee you, there is nothing like someone who just loves the Lord. What does it look like? It looks like right at this time when Jesus is in, at the house of Simon the leper and the woman comes and breaks the box of oil, precious oil, and anoints his feet. She just loving Jesus. Forget decorum and protocol. She just loving Jesus. And he says, oh, she's doing something so sweet. This is going to be talked about forevermore. This is wonderful. And you know what? That's what makes up the church. People who don't care about this or that or this or that. But first they care about love. And then God sets things in decent and ordered ways. But love has got to be the prerequisite. The other thing is that olive oil comes from olives that are beaten. So when they shake those olives, that's part of the beating, but the beating continues because what they do, there's kind of two processes. So they take those olives as they were shaken, they put them in big baskets after they've been pulverized. Think about it like grapes, you know, where you see those pictures and the ladies just march on the grapes and stuff like that, and those kind of stuff. Well, they pulverize those olives, and then they set them in baskets, and they suspend them up in the air, and they put these containers underneath them. And then as they've been beaten, the sheer weight and them being collected begins to drip all of that first oil. And that is the purest oil, and that is the oil that is used in lamps. after that process is when they take the pulp once it's been dripping and come to a spot where it's done. Then they press it. And they get a whole nother set of olive oil out of it. You look at that and I think, okay, well, God, what does that mean? It's very clear to me. 1 Corinthians 9:27. The apostle said, I discipline my body. I beat it into submission. What does that pulverizing look like? We have got to get back to self-discipline, don't we? In our country and in our churches, we have to get back to a season of discipline. God loves it. In fact, it's a proof of His love. He disciplines us. And we have the responsibility to discipline ourselves. I don't like that, but that's the truth. Wow. And the last thing I'll say about the anointing oil is the anointing oil comes from another being poured out. I look at this and I think, first of all, back in 1 Samuel, and I think of in Samuel's interaction with King David, when David was 15 years old and he was still in his dad's house and he was just left out in the field as a shepherd. And Samuel looked at everybody and nobody else, you know, was really up to the task, and the Lord highlighted David. And so David was the one that he put the oil on. That was the first of three different anointings, pouring oil over David. He was anointed at that time. And I look at this and I think, Lord, why is it that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are imparted like that? Why aren't they just absorbed? Why are they imparted? And honestly, there's so many questions I have about that, but it's just the way the kingdom of God works. The oil is poured out from another. You cannot anoint yourself. You cannot anoint yourself. Now, someone needs to tell somebody this in our day and age. I'm sorry, you cannot anoint yourself. Now, who can anoint you? Well, it starts like this. Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. And those under shepherds are also people who will anoint and affirm what Jesus has anointed. So Jesus can anoint and He can baptize. But the laying on of hands, like what some people saw in the New Testament, that was important. Why? Just because it's a religious duty? No, because ministry establishes ministry. God's dedicated servants who have been tested and proven are those that then approve and affirm others. Why? It's a body. There aren't just independent members running around starting new works. That's why we have over 1,500 different registered religious institutions that all say they're the same. Yeah. No, it's because somebody doesn't get this part. And so when it comes time for the anointing oil, it is important for us to submit to one another and receive an anointing. It really is. And to pray that the Lord would baptize us in fresh power. You know, I love this, and I think let's close on this. I don't want to belabor too much, but would you stand with me? And I want us to sing a song that we prepped today. You are worthy of it all. Let's. Can I have the worship team? Welcome Steve back up to the stage. He's a good guy. Steve, you're my favorite man. So are you, Jeff. And Troy, you're my favorite. And Carlos, not sure about you. I mean, no, Carlos, you're my favorite. So, oh, he's mucho guapo.
Muy guapo.
Muy guapo. Oh, my goodness. Oh, man. I hope that you got something out of this so far. But what I want to ask for now is I want us to worship the Lord for a second. And I want us to then open up our hearts and maybe receive some impartation of fresh oil. Oh, praise you, Jesus. You know, when you worship the Lord and you lift Him up, you invite Him into the room, don't you? As Lord and Savior, as King of Kings. And as you wait in that presence, it's like the Holy Spirit gives you a green light, and there comes a time. That day of Pentecost came after waiting on the Lord, and there comes a time where the Holy Spirit says, now I want to do this. And you yield to that and you let the Holy Spirit baptize, put you, immerse you, pour out more. And if we don't allow that, then we're missing it. And I don't want to miss the party. And I know that the enemy is real and I need this. Time's short. So how many of you know you need the oil of the Holy Spirit fresh in your life? Maybe there's been a depletion of it. You burn it up. You got to have more. I want to ask the Warners to come down and join me. If you guys would come down and stand over there. I want to ask Erica, if you would come down over here. Travis, if you and your wife would come down. Michelle, would you come on down? And this is enough prayer team right now. I think we can tackle anybody that comes down. And so what I'd like us to do is I'd like us to worship for a second and just magnify the Lord. And I'm expecting the Holy Spirit to give us a green light for some prayer time, okay? And the other elders and stuff in the room, I want you to come back when I come, and I want you to place hands on people, and we're going to pray for some today too. Now that just, I gave you my cards. I just showed you my cards. If you want prayer today, this is a special day. This is a special day. I'm saying it in faith. Why? Because I know this is a time that we need it. If you need a fresh infilling, that's why you're here today. If you weren't here, you would have missed it. But you're here. So don't waste your opportunity. If you want a special deposit of the Holy Spirit, this is all about the Holy Spirit. It's not about any of the other things. Let's just focus on the Holy Spirit and the oil, all that anointing represents, power to be and to do all that is required right now in this season. And I want more of it. I know some of you want more of it. Let's just worship for a couple minutes. I'm going to open up the altars and after we worship, just a minute. So just turn our hearts towards heaven. Let's worship. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all.
For from
you are all things. To you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. Oh, we magnify your name, Lord Jesus. You are worthy of it all. Oh, come and receive glory. For from you are all things. To you are all things. You deserve. Oh, lift your voices and sing it out really loud. You are worthy. You are worthy of it all. Oh, come be glorified in your church. Oh, come be glorified. Oh, Jesus. All things. And to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Oh, one more time, one more time. Come on, Lord Jesus. You are worthy of it all. Oh. Yes, Lord. Oh, we magnify you, Jesus. Okay, now we're singing this and I'm just reminded, God gets glory not on a church that is formed but without power. He gets glory from a church that is formed and filled with power. So who in this room wants a fresh infilling of that power of the Holy Spirit? As we sing, now I want you to come down. People on the prayer team, you didn't know you were going to do this today, but you're going to pray and we're going to see the Holy Spirit move in mighty ways. All right, church, let's respond.
Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Oh, day and night, Oh, let incense arise. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, Holy Spirit, breathe afresh right now. Oh, fresh oil from that throne, Jesus. Fresh oil from that throne right now. Lord God, just anoint in Jesus' name. Lord, pour out a river of living water. Refresh right now. Replenish right now. Lord Jesus, I thank you now for fresh strength. Lord, receive it. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Halaramanaria satalaria cotorundalaria bosso.
Day and night and day, let incense arise. Oh, day and night. Oh, Holy Spirit moves.
You are worthy, Haruma.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Oh, Lord, according to your unfailing love right now and your great compassions, fill this vessel with fresh fire, fresh oil, fresh water from your throne. Lord Jesus, pour out in abundance more and more of your gifts and your abilities. Oh, Father God, I thank you right now for your love right now. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, refresh and receive it in Jesus' name.
You are worthy of it all. Oh, for from you are all things. To you are all things.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, oh, hallelujah. Oh Lord, anoint the men in this room right now with fresh fire. Anoint them, Lord, with fresh power. Lord, let there be strength upon strength. Let there be blessing upon blessing. Lord, let there be insight and wisdom right now. Lord, pour out insight and wisdom. Lord Jesus, pour out stirred up faith, greater faith in this place.
You are worthy of it all.
Oh, Lord Jesus, I thank you right now for your mark on Luke's life. Lord Jesus, Lord, I thank you for affirmation, your love, and your acceptance on him. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, I thank you for your approval. God, now with that seal of approval, that deposit of your spirit, I ask now for a fullness, an outpouring of your spirit. Lord God, fill this vessel for the job and the tasks before him. God, overflow. Oh, God, overflow. In his belly, let there be a river of living water today. Lord Jesus, melt away all hindrances. Lord, melt away all doubt. Lord, melt away all those rough edges. God, let there be an overabundance of your love and your power. In Jesus' name, let there be a release. Lord, a release. Holy Spirit, clarify now. Clarify. Clarify your purposes and your plan. Lord, speak to him. Answer his questions right now. Lord God, answer his questions about your will. Answer his questions about what it is the next steps are. Lord, let your spirit guide in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, I just speak favor upon this young man. Lord, let your favor and your blessing be upon him. Lord, bless him. Lord, bless him. Lord, bless Nova too. Lord Jesus, hallelujah, Lord, you are worthy of it all. Oh, how many of you love the Lord? Man, as we're not stopping praying, we're just pausing. I wanna be sensitive to those in the room that feel like you need to move on with your day. That's fine. You are officially dismissed. I'm going to pray for you right now, though. Holy Spirit, I ask for you to be like a pit bull, and I want you to lay hold of every person in this room and go with them today. Holy Spirit, not let us go. Pursue each and every person today with a tenacity like a pit bull. And I ask for you to speak to hearts and minds in this room. I ask for you to refresh what needs to be refreshed and to give strength where it is needed. And Lord, I ask specifically for a release of giftings in this room. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Church, you are dismissed. Go in the grace and peace of God. We'll see you on Wednesday or on Monday night at 6 o'clock if you're coming for that.